Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
All right, it is the Gary Parrish Show. And it is Brad Carson in studio for Gary. Gary live on TV this afternoon in New York City with CBS. So we will get GP on here around 4:30. We'll be in studio with you as the Tigers are playing right now over at FedEx Forum with 15:57 to go. Second half, Tigers are now up 65-44. So handling Tulane like we expected here in the first round, which is good because we're going to get this done. We've got four rounds to go. Let me set up the schedule for this afternoon. Again, Gary Parrish is going to join us around 4:30. This is his show, so we're going to try to get the man on himself. Later on at 5 o'clock, we're going to get on Neil McCready. Neil, of course, part of the Oxford Exxon podcast, covers Ole Miss. Guest host here on 92.9, so Neil will join us at 5 because Jeff Calkins, who normally is in that slot, is going to be doing some locker room work and doing interviews with the Tigers. He's at FedEx Forum covering the game. So we also hope to get on Jeff after Neil in the second hour, and then my friend Bo Hart will wrap up the show as we do dinner to go and get on out of here. So, as Gary and I wanted to do to start off the show, we wanted to get to FedEx Forum live with our very own Jason Smith, who is covering the game for The Athletic, of course, host of the Jason and John show. And Jason, thanks for taking some time. I know you're in the middle of the game here. We've got down to 15:57. Tigers lead now by 21 points, and I'll just start with the first half was sort of a good first half, all in all. First half, sort of a slow start, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, not the kind of start that you ideally like to get off to, but sort of, I would think, probably expected. Again, you're sort of creating your own energy. This isn't a packed FedEx Forum tonight. This afternoon, if I was guessing, you'd probably have, I don't know, maybe 8,000 here, so you're sort of creating your own energy. Not the typical environment that you're used to coming into, so the slow start wasn't surprising. The best part for them is that they were able to break out of it, sort of get some guys going. Tyler Harris right at the front of that with some early threes. Was good to see him kind of get going, hits three threes. You said that, you know, we know what Jeremiah Martin can do, and this team knows what he can do. The key this game was getting other guys going. They've done that with Tyler Harris. They've done it with Mike Parks. He's having a good game with 14 and 10 rebounds, if I'm not mistaken. So, slow start, but you've gotten to a point now where you're up 21, not much of a game, and you're where you want to be. Now you can just kind of focus on getting some guys into some rhythms.
It's 14 points right now for Mike Parks. Kevon Davenport with 11. 14 points for Jeremiah Martin. So, I mean, it's the usual suspects. The one player that you guys talked about on the show today, and again, it's early. It's the first game, and here we are in the second half, and it looks like they're going to cruise. They're up by 21 now in the 15 or so minutes to go. Alex Lomax was the guy you guys mentioned on the Jason and John show earlier here today on 92.9, and it's been a little bit of a slow start for him. I want to bring up Alex because, honestly, I think he's going to be important in this tournament. He's had rough patches in this year. Don't you think that he is the key to this tournament for them, regardless of what the outcome of this game is, which we can kind of see coming down the train line here, that they're going to win this easily? But I think Alex is a key to this whole tournament, don't you?
He's definitely one of the keys, Brad. I don't think there's any doubt about it. What you can get from him is not go out and score 15 or 20 points and make the difference that way. But the way Alex Lomax makes a difference as being the defensive stud that he can be, and being the great distributor that he can be. Sort of kind of what we've always said about him all year long. Kind of his thing is, you know, as long as Alex Lomax is doing Alex Lomax things and not trying to do, you know, too much, that's when he's good. And we've seen when he is engaged, when he's confident, he can affect the game defensively. Did it in the second half against Temple in the game that you trailed at halftime. I'm with you that you need, because of the guards you'll face once you get past Tulane, with UCF, with obviously with Houston, with possibly Cincinnati or Temple in that championship game, you need a guy like Alex Lomax available to put on the other team's best guy. We've seen it this year. We've seen Penny put him on the other team's best guard, and Alex have some success there. We've also seen him, and most freshmen do, get ate up, you know, in some matchups. But, you know, Alex is, if he's not the best, you know, on-ball defender on this team, he's second best. You'd have to give it to Jeremiah Martin because he's been doing it longer. So I'm with you. He is one of the keys this week. You need him, not from a scoring standpoint in any kind of rhythm. You need him in a defensive rhythm and feeling confident enough that he can change a game defensively, because he can. It may just be Brad starting up a fast break, you know, getting a turnover here or there, but we know that's what gets the Tigers going. When they're turning defense and offense, that's when this team's at its best, and Alex Lomax is one of those guys that does that best for you.
The tempo is striking when you watch Memphis. I mean, they have 65 points now. It's 15 minutes to go, so they're still up 21 on Tulane. And we're talking to Jason Smith from the Jason and John Show. I appreciate you carving out some time during the game here, Jason. But are you surprised that Tyler Harris is sort of the breakout freshman, especially when you look at that class? And we knew the relationship with Alex Lomax and Penny. I guess me included assumed that that relationship, along with the play on the court that we saw at East High School, would be something that would sort of carry over into the season. The thing that surprises me the most is Tyler Harris. I saw him in a Jordan game last year, and he went for, like, you know, 20, 25 points. He looked phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That was before, not Penny, but Tubby started recruiting him. And then, of course, Penny took over the recruitment, and we saw what happened. They got Tyler Harris to commit to Memphis, and the rest is history. But are you surprised that he's the breakout a little more so than Alex is this year?
A little bit. I think that's a great question, Brett. If you told me before the season which one of them is going to struggle the most, I would have told you Tyler Harris, because so much of his game revolves around his shot and around his scoring. And because the other big factor we know is, you know, Lomax knows Penny better, and he has, because he's known him since the fifth grade. He knows what he wants. And so coming in, because you didn't expect Alex to come in and be a big-time scorer, you expect him to come in, hey, play defense, distribute the ball. You figure those are things that he can handle, especially having played for Penny as long as he had. And so I would, yes, going into the season, I would have told you, man, Alex Lomax is probably going to play more like a sophomore than a freshman. It's been anything but that. He's had the exact up and downs of any freshman in college basketball. He has struggled too. I think most of it's been with confidence. To your point, if you'd asked me before the season, I told you that Alex was the guy that would struggle less. And I think it's been it's been the other way around. Now Tyler has, you know, for stretches, gone completely ice cold from three-point range. And I'm not as worried about that, because a shooter's going to shoot. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's broken the freshman record for three-pointers in Memphis. A shooter's going to shoot. What I'm more worried about, and you've sort of seen the development, is Tyler, show me how you can affect the game in other ways. Talked about this all season long. You've seen him the last few games look to get in the lane more and distribute more. Now, a lot of times you got an ugly outcome. They'll get a shot blocked. Mm-hmm. But you've seen lately he's getting used to the kind of contact he's going to see on a regular basis in the lane and finishing in some of these. And in other cases, he's getting it to the teammate to set them up. So that's the point for Tyler. Forget the shot. I'm not worried about the shot. The shot's always going to be there. This guy hits one, he can hit seven. And he's doing it. He's doing it, obviously, today, shooting the ball well. It's Tyler, can you be a defensive pest like we ask Alex Lomax to do? Tyler, can you take over point guard duties right now and get Keevan Davenport more involved? That's the next step for Tyler Harris. He's going to be fine. He's going to be a good one. And it was good to hear him, last week after Tulsa, talking about next season and what he wants to add to his game, because, you know, that's what you want. Yeah. At one point, that we didn't think it was possible you could get Tyler and Alex Lomax on the same team. They were arch rivals. Now it sounds like they're very comfortable playing with each other, and so much so that they're looking forward to doing it again for another season in a program where you're constantly recruiting highly ranked guards. It's good to hear that some are happy. You know what I mean? Because in college basketball, it is so easy for players to get unhappy with their roles, with their time. And right now, Penny, it sounds like he's got those freshmen right where he wants them. You're getting a little taste of what the postseason is going to be like going forward right now, and hopefully for them in the NIT or NCAA tournament, and then having them ready for next season. So I think those two are going to be so important to this team next year. You know this, Brad, because you've got Jeremiah going out that door, and you depend so much on Jeremiah on both ends. It's going to be key for Tyler and for Alex to take big steps up next year. We know they're recruiting other guards, but these two are going to play heavy minutes next year, and it's key in their development that they keep taking those steps and keep doing the next thing and the next thing and evolving those games.
It's the Gary Parrish Show here on 92.9. Brad Carson in studio. Jason Smith is at FedEx Forum, taking a few minutes kindly to kind of go through the game, and they are cruising here with just under 12 minutes to go, up 18. And, you know, the thing that I'm looking at on the stat line as far as this game is concerned is the three-point shooting that you just brought up, which is unbelievable, with Tyler Harris now going 4 of 8 from three-point arc. He's got 12 points. You know, if they're going to win this thing this weekend, they're going to have to do this, especially if you figure if they're in the second round here tomorrow and they're in this position against UCF, which it looks that's easily going to be the way this goes. I think the three-point shooting is going to have to continue, don't you think?
Oh, no question. And 10 of 22, it looks outstanding today. And the big one is Harris jumps out at you at the 4 of 8. I talked about this before the tournament. He's the X factor. For Memphis this week, and for Memphis whether it's in the NIT or the NCAA tournament, because we've seen it earlier this season that when Tyler is confident, and you saw it in his eyes early this game, it started actually with a couple of shots that most like like a lot of Tyler shots, you're like, whoa, is that a good one?
Yeah.
And they drop, but see, a lot of times. And you watch the bench, and it was interesting today to sort of watch them react to some of the shots Tyler's taking. And there wasn't a whole lot of, hey, that's a bad shot. It looked more like, okay, let's go ahead and get him in a rhythm. My point being, when he hits one or two, like we said, he can get on a roll and take you to a different level in terms of offense. I mean, he can you put him with a Jeremiah Martin who's rolling, all of a sudden you're talking about a ball club that can score 90, 100 points. And that's, for me, because he's got such a high ceiling in terms of what he can do from an offensive standpoint, he's the X factor. And again, from the sense that if you can get him going with Jeremiah, that's two offensive options that now, Johnny Dawkins at UCF, Kelvin Sampson at Houston have to look at and say, whoa, well, now we don't have to just we can't just worry about Jeremiah Martin. We got to worry about Tyler Harris too. That's what you want. You want another whether it's Tyler, whether it's Mike Parks, who's got a double-double today. You need another consistent threat offensively, so all these defenses can't focus everything on Jeremiah. So again, a good sign to see Tyler hitting the three. Keeping Davenport's hit a couple tonight. Big game for him in the sense that 13 points, 4 rebounds. You'd like to see him get a couple more rebounds, but the points for Keevan, because he's been such a non-factor offensively, probably a good sign going into tomorrow where you'll see UCF.
A few more minutes here with you, Jason. I appreciate you carving out some time. Jason
sure.
Smith at FedEx Forum. Tigers up 18, under 12 minutes now. Looks like there's a timeout, but Memphis is going to take on UCF in all likelihood tomorrow at FedEx Forum. That'll be the same deal in the afternoon, so we'll wait for that one. I want to jump over. Have you seen this video of James Wiseman from the quarterfinals that's floating around Twitter today?
I've seen a little bit of it. One of the dunks or whatever.
It's a kid from, I guess, the team they were playing here in Tennessee in the quarterfinals. The kid is 6'3", okay? James Wiseman goes for a dunk and literally jumps over the kid, dunks over his head and jumps over the kid and hangs on the rim so he doesn't hit the kid in the head and jumps over
Good
him.
Good grief.
Have we ever seen anything like... I know we have high hopes for next year for James Wiseman and that he'll be in the NBA in probably a year. But I was thinking about this today because I thought about Derrick Rose, obviously a guard though, not a big man. Penny was a forward guard. He was a guard, basically a tall guard. But have we ever seen anything like James Wiseman, a player that's 7 feet tall, that has these kind of measurables? You know what I'm saying?
No, because even if you're old enough to remember, Keith Lee and Michael Cage from across the bridge over West Memphis, neither was this athletic and neither could run the floor. Heck, Keith had knee issues, as early on as in college and maybe not before, that put the cap on a cap on his career and how good he could be in terms of a professional. Wiseman's a different kind of breed in that he's a different kind of athlete at 7 foot. The way he can get up and down the floor as a guard, the big men that this city's produced, and keep in mind, yes, James has lived here the last 2 years, but he's from Nashville. But anyway, the big men that have typically come out of this city, those 7-footers, were the old prototype 7-footers. They were the guys that you threw the ball to in the post.
Yep.
They muscle up on a guy, put him in the torture chamber, put a couple of post moves on him, and score. This is a different breed of player going along that line of, you hear it all the time from these young NBA guys, that unicorn type of mold where it's big guy that can step out, knock down the three. A lot of times prefers to step out and knock down the three. So I don't think we've ever seen this combination, Brad,
yeah,
of size and skill. That's the difference. We've seen big guys. We've seen skilled guys, but not this skilled, not this big. The one thing that those old school centers have got on James is the inside game. And look, he'll be asked to do that. He'll be asked to go down there and rebound and block shots and be strong against other, big forwards in the league. And right now you probably say, well, that's the thing he's going to have to work on because folks are going to try to overpower him. Right now at his weight, that's the thing that you can still do to James Wiseman is push him around, but he's got so many other skills and so many other places that he can take you on the court and really, at this point in his career, abuse you with his shot, with getting past you, getting past bigger defenders off the dribble. He can do it all. And I'm not, like I said, Penny special in the sense that 6'7", 6'8", could do it all, but I don't think we've ever seen one this big, 7 foot, that can do all the things that James Wiseman can. He's a program changer, and we'll see with the NBA. In terms of how immediately he can help a franchise. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's going to depend on his body, just like any young prospect. But James Wiseman, what's been fun to watch is sort of the knock on him was he doesn't look to be a huge rim protector, doesn't play angry on defense. Well, he's blown that out of the water. He's taken that weakness and made it now a strength. He's blocking everything. He's playing angry, and all of a sudden he can be as impactful on the defensive end now as he is on the offensive end, and that's a representation of growth in the last year with him. He's come quite a ways.
I've brought your partner Bennett Doyle in here from the Jason and John show. I will say to both of you, John Martin on your show today said there's no way James Wiseman fails in the NBA, and I thought John learned his lesson about the 100% guarantee rule. But listen, I think he's gonna be in the NBA. But to say that there's not a chance that he can get through and not fail is just not true. There's a very good chance that anybody can go into the NBA and fail.
100%.
We
were saying the same things, Brad, about Scalabissia.
Right.
We all thought when he was over at ECS, this was a can't-miss kid.
Right.
Look at how he runs the floor as a 7-footer. Scal had an outside shot. He could step out and knock it down. Nothing like nothing like where James Wiseman is at this stage in his career, but absolutely, Brad. And that was the thing we found out on Scal was that, at that point in his career, he just wasn't tough enough inside.
Right.
We saw it at Kentucky. It's why he dropped in the draft. And to this point, it's been why he hasn't made much of a mark in the NBA because, the thing on him has been get him stronger. He can't right now. He can't compete because he's not strong enough. Well, right now, Wiseman's still in that same boat. He's got to get stronger, too. There's nothing there is no guarantee.
Right.
Brad, you know that as well as I do. But the odds are high. And he's certainly got the tools
that you look for.
There's no question. Look, this guy's going to be a top five. I'd be shocked if he's not top five in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you don't want him falling too much lower than top five because at one point, he's already been projected maybe the first pick, maybe the third pick. If you're Memphis coach Penny Hardaway, you want him up that high.
What you
don't want is James Wiseman, like it happened with Cal. You take a kid, the kid slides back, and all of a sudden he's an end of the first round draft pick. Well, that reflects on you as a coach, particularly when that expectation's been out that this kid's going to be a high draft pick. So, look, he'll be I feel pretty good saying he'd be a top five pick. We don't know if he'll be, if he'll prove that he's the number one pick, but James Wiseman's going to be a high pick. Still, that doesn't guarantee you success. I take you back to Kwame Brown, a bunch of other examples
right,
of guys that we thought would be great to beat, and we're not. But James is wired the way you want. The way you'd expect a future NBA, game changer to be wired, and he certainly has the physical tools and the skill set.
Jason, I'm going to put you on the spot real quick. Do you know if there's some recruits in the building today, right?
I don't believe that Lester is here yet. If that's who you're asking.
Oh, yeah, the official visit.
So that's
this weekend,
not what I'm asking about. So we were talking about James Wiseman, and ESPN just put up a graphic of James Wiseman showing all of his high school accomplishments, and they put a picture of someone in the crowd next to the James Wiseman picture.
That would certainly not be him.
That I believe they assumed.
He is up in Murphy.
It was definitely not James Wiseman, but they had a picture of this guy in the crowd, and that's why I asked if there was another recruit there, because he looks like a big guy. They put it next to the James Wiseman picture, and went to do a minute-long segment about a guy in the crowd that was not James Wiseman. So I was wondering who that was.
That is strange. I don't know if you can get me a screenshot of who it is, but it can't. I mean, it can't be Malcolm either.
Because it wasn't Malcolm.
State, and you figure it's not Jordan Wilmore, who's with Whitehaven up at State, and you're telling me it's one of the big guys. So. And like I said, Lester Quinones is not right now planned to be in here. Neither is Precious Achiuwa. So
Lester's official is this weekend, right? Lester is this weekend, though?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Lester Quinones from IMG Academy, a guy who, you know, Memphis is clearly identified as we need him, 6'5 shooter, unique shooting on the squad. And the exciting part for Memphis right now is that, you know, Lester Quinones, yes, he's got a top seven, but most feel it's down to Memphis, Maryland, or LSU. And that was before you've had, you know, the developments with Will Wade. So perfect time for Memphis to get him up on campus for an official visit, particularly with the LSU stuff right here fresh in his mind.
One more thing on the Tigers,
yep,
before we let you go here, and we're talking with Jason Smith. Jason's live at the FedEx Forum, and we've got at 8 minutes, Tigers up 15, so we'll let you go after this. But does any of this stuff right now matter with recruiting? What I mean is, you know, whether you're in the NCAA tournament, more visibility, it would seem that it could help your stock with at least somebody like Lester Quinones or somebody like that in the top 50 that's looking to make a final decision here, right?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I don't think there's any doubt about that Will Wade down at LSU with the season that he was having, winning an SEC regular season championship was helping himself with these kids.
Yeah.
And at one point, I think you had LSU as the favorite for both Trendon and for Lester Quinones, who both know each other and talk about playing together frequently. And so, of course, it matters for Memphis just as much as it matters for LSU. Put together a run. Get yourself in the tournament. What these kids identify is what they see on television. There's no question about it. And if they can see you in the tournament, yeah, that's better for you. Now, you figure here's the fallback. You've done the work. You've done the legwork. Mike has the relationship with Trendon. He has the relationship with Lester, and so does Penny now. That's what they're working on. But no, you absolutely have to know that what's happening on the court matters to these kids. They don't want to go to some sorry program or some program that's about to lose its head coach, and
right,
you know, their relationship is with that head coach, and no matter what, how good they're on the court, hey, well, if I'm not coming to play for you, then how can I come to play for that program? So all of it matters. And yeah, if Memphis could put together a nice run here, make a run into the tournament championship and win it, yeah, it would certainly help you. But I don't think it's not the end all be all at this point for these kids that are deciding in the spring are now pretty much down. They know the schools are looking at it. Now it's just a matter of picking. And hopefully for Lester, for Trendon, for Precious, for Chula, at least for two of those guys, you're the pick.
I just want to have a player named Precious. That's all I'm asking for.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, that would be the icing on the cake, as it were. Hey, Jason, get back to the game. I appreciate you carving out some time for us, okay?
My pleasure, brother.
Yeah,
y'all take care.
Thank you so much. It's Jason Smith from the Jason and John Show. You can hear Jason weekdays from 11 to 2. Of course, writes for The Athletic. He is on the beat doing the columnist work for The Athletic along with John Martin. 7:21, second half, FedEx Forum. Memphis and Tulane. Of course, Memphis the 5. Tulane the 12, they're up 72-57, so they're up 15, should cruise here, maybe get some rest for some of the players. Looking at the stats line, Kevin Davenport, 13, Mike Parks Jr., 14 points, Jeremiah Martin with 14, you've got Tyler Harris with 12, Alex Lomax, obviously in there, but not going so far as points. We know that's not really what they're relying on him right now for, Bennett. But I do at a certain point think Alo has to find his offensive game if they're going to use him next year, especially if he's the alternating in at point next year, don't you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I can confirm that was definitely not James Wiseman that they put up the picture of.
Who was it?
We don't know. I don't think we know yet.
What's the graphic department at ESPN doing?
They thought it was him. It clearly was not him. There's videos going around on Twitter right now, but the line today I think was 16.5, and the reason I said I was a little worried about the line is what is actually happening is in this game is they get up big and they coast in the second half, and so they weren't going to blow out Tulane, and so that's what I think is going to end up happening. I still think they're going to get the win here, but
well, and I think you're trying to rest players. You're trying to probably disperse the load a little bit between players. Your rotations are probably different than what you're going to do against UCF tomorrow. Presuming you got to get UCF tomorrow, you get Houston on Saturday, and then hopefully make it to Sunday. That's the goal. So ESPNU, The James Wiseman thing, you're going to see a lot about this if you're on Twitter. And you can follow us, by the way, at 929ESPN. And that's at 929ESPN. Real quick, we're going to be getting to Gary Parrish here coming up after the break. Also at 5 o'clock, Neil McCready going to join us from the SEC tournament, which is in Nashville. He's covering Ole Miss, so we'll talk to him about Tennessee trying to seek a number one seed. Some of the other things that we're covering, the NCAA tournament, you know, obviously you've got Gonzaga trying to get a one seed still, but, you know, I think Gonzaga still probably gets a one seed. So we'll talk to those guys about that. We'll talk to Gary Parrish, though, coming up next about all these things, including the NCAA tournament. And by the way, quick plug here for the station. We're doing that 2019 Book It Horseshoe bracket.
Yep.
You can get in on the brackets now at 929ESPN.com. Be ready for Sunday. We've got great prizes. A $500 Tigers pendant from Platinum Jewelers. We've got the overnight stay at Horseshoe Casino, dinner for two at Jack Binion's. You get steak dinners. You get the We Sell Tools package. We've got this Man Shed Garage Service Cart, which is a huge tool kit, basically, 121 pieces, plus the tool organizer for your garage, haircuts for a year from Supercuts. So thanks to all of our sponsors, and you can sign up now at 929ESPN.com. Let's break. We're going to get to GP coming up next after the break. Brad Carson in studio with Bennett Doyle, and you've got the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Go now to 92.9ESPN.com and sign up immediately for the Book at Horseshoe Bracket Challenge presented by Papa John's Pizza.
Hey, it's Jeff Calkins. You could win over $1,500 worth of stuff. A year's worth of haircuts and products and supercuts, a We Sell Tools prize package, including professional service cart, 121 mechanics tool set, and get a University of Memphis Platinum Jewelers pendant necklace valued at $500.
Enter the Bracket Challenge on the station you love. Go to 92.9ESPN.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
On everything I love. All right, we're back on the Gary Parrish Show. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Neil McCready. Neil with Rivals. He is live at the SEC Tournament in Nashville. We'll talk hoops with him and all that's going on in college basketball. But let's start with the expert, the guy who is, of course, ranked the number one afternoon show host in America. It is my colleague, the one and only Gary Parrish, joining us live from CBS Sports. You're in studio today, GP. I guess you don't have the Tigers game on, but the Tigers are up right now, 77-63, no surprise, with 4 minutes to go. But still closer than what the spread was. Are the Tigers, are you confident the Tigers could get to Sunday?
No. All I've ever said is that it's possible, realistic, and that they will not be a significant underdog to anybody inside FedEx Forum. But, you know, they're going to be in a coin flip situation, assuming they close this out tomorrow against UCF. And then they will be an underdog if they get past that one when they play the Houston Cougars on Saturday. So, listen, it's funny, like you provide – you know, you use these words and try to make it as clear as you can make it what it is you're saying about a particular thing, and it still gets twisted one way or another. I have, to this moment, never predicted Memphis would win the American Athletic Conference tournament, never promised you that they would even play for it on Sunday. All I've said is that they're good enough to do it, that only good teams have beaten them in that building, Cincinnati and Tennessee, and that they would not be a significant underdog against anybody, Houston included, inside FedEx Forum. But it's a climb uphill. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, Houston is still projected to win this event, mm-hmm. and Memphis probably wouldn't even be second on that list. And it's because, you know, the Tigers aren't one of the, you know, they're not the best team in this league. They're not the second best team in this league. But FedEx Forum can balance the playing field a little bit. And obviously, I think that's what just about everybody listening right now hopes. But I've never promised or even predicted anything other than it should be a fun week, and they've got a more realistic chance to do this than any other five seed in any other tournament.
We're up 77-66, and I say we, I mean Memphis. 77-66 over Tulane with 3:19 to go second half, and it looks like they're going to hold on to win, although closer than what the spread was. Out of those teams they've got, USC presumably tomorrow, and then Houston would be on Saturday, and then obviously Cincinnati would likely await somewhere there. Which of those three would you say is the better opponent, the best opponent of the three of them at this point? Obviously, Houston is probably one, and then would it be Cincinnati two, and then UCF, Central Florida there, the team that we get tomorrow, probably be the third hardest team of the three?
Yeah, that's the way I would rank them. I was happy for Fran Dunphy to win that game last weekend, his final home game as Temple's head coach. That was not a good thing for Memphis because, according to all of the computers, UCF is better than Temple, and UCF mm-hmm. had played better down the stretch than Temple. But when Temple won that game, combined with Wichita State winning at Tulane, it made Temple the three seed and UCF the four, which always meant that Memphis on Friday, if it got to Friday, would be playing UCF in the quarterfinals Quarter, yeah. as opposed to Temple in the quarterfinals. And though Memphis might be favored over UCF, they would have been a more significant favorite over Temple. And so, you know, you're going to play three teams. If you're going to win this thing, you've got to beat three NCAA tournament teams on back-to-back-to-back days. Yeah. That's not an easy thing to do. It's not something Memphis has done all season. But just like I talked about last week and as recently as yesterday, I don't like the cliche of take it one game at a time, but I really do think, you know, you've got to focus on, you know, each 40-minute game as it presents itself. This one, obviously, against Tulane, significant favorite, and it does look like they're going to close it out. Yeah. They're shooting around 48% from the field, 42% from three-point range. Jeremiah Martin's got 16 points on 11 shots, so he hasn't been efficient. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Memphis is probably going to win by double digits without Jeremiah Martin being very good today, I think is an encouraging sign. Keevan Davenport right now with 16 points on 13 shots. He's 3 of 6 from beyond the arc. So you get this win, and you go, okay. Because the way people talk about it in advance is you got to win 4 games in 4 days.
Yeah.
Well, now you only got to win 3 games in 3 days.
Right.
Like the one's in your rearview mirror. So you look up tomorrow and you go, okay. Forget about 3 games in 3 days. Let's just focus on UCF. We have to beat mm-hmm. UCF in our building.
Yep.
We have to beat Central Florida.
Yeah.
Inside FedEx Forum. And we've done that
yeah.
by 20 points. So let's just do something that we've already done this season. And then you wake up on Saturday and you go, okay, where are we at now? Okay, Houston. Now, this is a little tougher deal. Because
right.
Houston's legitimately a top 15 team in the country. They're your outright league champions. They've only lost twice all season. But can we beat them inside FedEx Forum? If we can be up double digits on Cincinnati with 14 to play, if we can beat UCF by 20, if we can hang with Tennessee and only lose by 10 in this building, then why can't we go beat Houston? We don't have to beat Houston
right.
in Houston. We don't have to beat them on a neutral court. We don't have to beat them, you know, in a best-of-7 series. You just got to beat them on a Saturday inside FedEx Forum. And they will be an underdog, and I won't pick them to win the game. But it's not crazy to think that they could, and that's why this event has always given Memphis an outside shot at the NCAA tournament, even if the resume is not on paper worthy.
It's a 9-point lead right now with about 2 minutes remaining here for Memphis, so probably closer than they would like going in, but it looks like they'll hold on to win this game and then play Central Florida tomorrow, like you said. I want to ask you one more Memphis question, and then I want to get to Zion Williamson, because that's the story, obviously, in college basketball with him playing tonight against Syracuse. But the final sort of Memphis-related thing was, there's this, I don't know if you've seen this video or not, this video floating around the internet. And it's got I'm losing my notes here, Gary. It's actually James Wiseman at the state tournament in the quarterfinals, and he's dunking over a player. He grabs the rim. He basically jumps over a 6'3" dude. Have you seen this video yet?
I have not seen that, but I have seen large men jump over small men yeah. before. So I can imagine what it looks like.
Imagine a 7-foot human named James Wiseman jumping over a little 6'3" guy, and not so little, I guess, 6'3". And it's now, but have we ever seen a player like we're going to see in James Wiseman? I mean, when I saw this video, I mean, I've seen all the videos around about him, but I saw that today and I just went, man, in 8 months, basically, he's going to be on campus and it's going to be just a different day.
Well, he'll probably be on campus in like June. Like he'll enroll and start working out on campus in the summer, like most high major players do. And then he should be awesome. I don't want to overstate it. I mean, he is legitimately, according to some recruiting rankings, the number one prospect in America, but he's not like something we've never seen.
Right.
You know, he's a 6'11", terrific athlete who runs the floor very well, dunks and dunks everything, blocks everything, and can step away from the basket and make a three. He is I would trade future earnings with him right now if he'd be willing to do it. He's going to make a lot of money, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, playing basketball, barring a surprise or an injury. But, you know, every year we have incredible, bigs who enroll in college. You know, last season we had a bunch of them, whether it was DeAndre Ayton or Marvin Bagley or Jaren Jackson Jr. or Mo Bamba. He's not LeBron James. I don't even think he's Zion Williamson, but I do think he is. He's going to be the type of talent that Memphis hasn't had in its program in a little while. Yep. And the idea that Penny was able to get that done and create the type of excitement that's going to accompany that team all off season and preseason is. It's why we spent all, last February and March talking about what needed to be done, because this was always possible, and it's pretty close to becoming a reality.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Smith and I were talking about, because today on their show, John Martin said that he sees no way that James Wiseman fails in the NBA, and I thought John learned his lesson about the 100% guarantees on the shows, but I only pointed out to Jason that that's just not true. Like, and Jason brought up the example of Scala Bissier, and I thought it was a good example. Not that Scal's, Scal made the league, but my point was, there is a chance he could fail in the NBA, even if he's drafted in the top five next year in 2020.
Well, of course there is. I mean, that's with all due respect to John, that's a silly thing to say. Scal was the number one player in America coming out of high school. And if you would have told me take high school Scal or high school James Wiseman, I might have taken high school Scal.
Right.
Because I just thought the skill set was perfect for the modern NBA. And for whatever reason, it just hasn't translated. You know, he might just be a guy forever or until he's bounced out of the league. So, listen, there are top five picks in almost every draft that, quote unquote, fell relative to what they were supposed to be. And if you think James Wiseman is immune to that, you're out of your mind. He's a smart kid, works hard, and has incredible natural gifts. But there are smart people who work hard and have incredible natural gifts who, that league's hard.
Yeah.
I'll put it this way. There have been more talented people than James Wiseman who have, quote unquote, failed in the NBA.
Right.
If he does it, if he doesn't make it to stardom or even relevancy, he won't be the first.
Right. Memphis is up 78-68. It's 40 seconds to go, so Memphis going to hold on and play tomorrow. And then finally, before we let you go, Gary Parrish has joined us. He's at CBS in New York on set, and I want to let you go, but the first thing I want to ask you before you go is Zion Williamson is the story, right, tonight with Syracuse. I mean, this is what everybody seems to be talking about, because Zion is going to play against Syracuse here in the ACC tournament.
Yeah, first time he will have played in basically 3 weeks since his shoe exploded and his knee was injured in the opening minute of that game against North Carolina. And, I'm glad that finally we can put the rest, all of this. I don't think he's going to come back because, like I said yesterday on air, all of the people who were saying, I don't think he's going to come back, sounds like he's shutting it down. They just did not know what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. This injury from the jump was always supposed to be about a 2 or a 3 week injury. If you want to fault Duke for initially calling it day to day when it was always going to be 2 or 3 weeks, I'll get on board with that, because they added to the speculation, because when people hear day to day, they think might be back tomorrow, right, might be back this weekend. And he was just never going to come back tomorrow or this weekend. It was always going to be about in this time frame. But either way, that's in the past. The best college basketball player in the country and the best NBA prospect in the world is going to be on display tonight in Charlotte against Syracuse. And you know, we don't have many of these Zion games left at Duke, no matter how well Duke does in the NCAA tournament, because the maximum amount of games Zion Williamson can play at Duke going forward is 9. It's 3 in this ACC tournament and then 6 in the NCAA tournament, and I imagine everyone, for people who care about these things, will be appointment television, because if you're a basketball fan, it's the team that's favored to win the national championship, even if they're not ranked in the top 4 right now. And then if you're an NBA fan, it's also the number one prospect in the world, who also happens to be the best player in the country. And those two things are not always the same. You've heard me talk about it for years. There's a difference between a great player and a great prospect. You know, so, like Scalabissier was a really great prospect at Kentucky, but not a great player at Kentucky. There are great prospects that aren't great players.
Jaren Jackson probably be a good example of that.
Jaren was good at Michigan State, but he wasn't a star.
Right.
He's been better as a, I think you could reasonably argue, he's been better as a rookie in the NBA than he was as a freshman at Michigan State.
That's fair.
And I think that's got something to do with how he was used or not used at Michigan State, but that is a decent example. Jaren Jackson was an unbelievable prospect, not a great player. Trae Young was a great player and great prospect. Zion Williamson is a great player and a great prospect. Again, he's not just the presumed number one pick in June's NBA draft. He is the best college basketball player in the country, has been that basically all season, and it's really not even close or up for debate.
I want to let you go over under on how many times ESPN's going to do an ISO camera shot of Zion's shoes tonight. That'll probably be the big story for them.
Well, there's already pictures circulating of him lacing them up. Right. I mean, you know, listen, when you've got somebody who is at this star level, you milk it for whatever you can. I mean, the truth is right now, you know, LeBron James is still LeBron James, and the Warriors are the Warriors. But outside of those two things, I really do think Zion is the biggest star in basketball at any level right now. And so I don't blame ESPN for focusing on him every second of every minute of every game, and also pregame, postgame, because he's the person people want to see.
Yep. Hey, Gary, I appreciate you carving out some time on set there. That's very cool. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks for handling everything back in Memphis. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it. That is Gary Parrish live from New York City. I appreciate Gary carving out some time. And, of course, on CBS Sports Network. CBS, of course, is the network of stars. It's America's most watched network. I'm obliged to say that because Gary is the host of this show. And we'll have Gary on again tomorrow afternoon here on the Gary Parrish Show. Of course, live games going. And now Memphis closing out against Tulane. Final score, Memphis 83, Tulane 68.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. It feels so good it
should cost. We are back on the Gary Parrish Show. It's Brad Carson in studio, 4:55. And quick plug, I'll be hosting the 2019 Serves Bunny Run on April 20th. This is something I've done annually for the last 15 years. And I know Gary does a lot for different charities. This is one I've done with News Channel 3's Jim Jaggers. So If you're a runner, we're going to have the folks out there from start to finish on April 20th. That's April 20th at 9 a.m., and you can sign up through SERVS, that's srvs.org, or go to the 92.9 website and just click through the link there and join us on April 20th and help out SERVS. That do a lot for folks that are having challenges in their life, for kids and for families. They're going to have an egg hunt and stuff. So that's April 20th at 9 a.m. over at Cancer Survivors Park, the SERVS Bunny Run. With myself hosting. Let's do four stories.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Yeah, the Tigers won this afternoon. Tigers win. As expected, Memphis not clearing the spread, but winning 83-68 over Tulane, the number five ranked in the American. Memphis Tigers scoring 83 points. Kevon Davenport was 17. Leading scorer was Jeremiah Martin with 21 points. Also in the mix, Mike Parks with 14, going 6 of 6 shooting. And the Tigers actually had a nice shooting day, going 40% from 3, 46% overall, and outscoring Tulane 83-68. Tomorrow we head into the 2 o'clock matchup against Central Florida. Bennett Doyle is in studio with me. How are we feeling against the Central Florida team?
Well, I would say the good thing about today is nobody got hurt.
Right.
And you kind of coasted in the second half. You know, Tulane made it close, got it to single digits a couple times. But I think the key thing is that hopefully these guys didn't expend too much energy going into tomorrow, because you're going to have to win 4 in 4 days.
I think the good news is the shooting, because you're going to have to shoot threes in these games to score points. Mm-hmm. Because obviously against UCF, you got a player like Taco Fall, but they handled them last time they played them at FedEx Forum, winning by 20 points, like Gary was telling us in that last segment. So, I mean, you should have confidence going into this game, at the very least, having one in your building. You start out, as Gary pointed out, this is probably the third out of the top three best teams, if you think of it in terms of, you know, Temple probably not as good, even though they lost to, you know, Central Florida.
Yep.
So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But you've got Central Florida tomorrow. That game going to be at FedEx Forum at 2 o'clock. And then if you win that one, presumably you would have, you know, another game on Saturday. And then the goal is Sunday, though. I mean, is the NIT make you happy this year?
Yeah, it does, just because I want to see Penny get in the postseason, you know, in some sort of fashion this
year. You're
time
fine here. If the NIT is the backup.
No one coming into the season expected NCAA tournament. Now, when we started the season, I think a lot of us thought that it could be a possibility. We knew the league was better, and the league was, of course, better. You mentioned UCF's tomorrow, and mm-hmm. I think the one good thing taken out of today is the fact that in the last game, the last game at FedEx Forum against UCF, you were able to kind of take Taco Fall out of that game.
Right.
And you had good play from Mike Parks Jr. and Kevon Davenport today. Mike Parks has kind of been struggling a little bit for the Tigers. He had a double-double today. So if those guys are able, and Rainier are able to take Taco Fall out of the game tomorrow, I really like the Tigers' chances. I think they got a good shot of winning and advancing to a Friday or
They've
to Saturday.
Got big enough bodies to put on Taco Fall, and they certainly did that. And the other thing that's hurt Taco a lot this year, the games I've watched Central Florida, is foul trouble. I mean, it's just, mm-hmm. it seems like it's an inevitable, it's a cliche with big men, whether it's women's basketball, if I watch Mississippi State and some of the taller women. In 83-68, they play tomorrow afternoon in those the quarters against Central Florida.
Story number two.
Will Wade issuing his latest statement about LSU putting him on suspension. Of course, Will Wade, and Gary pointed this out, is getting paid still. The checks keep clearing because they have to pay him until they terminate him, according to his contract. Will Wade today releasing a statement basically saying that he should be coaching at LSU. Here's the quote. "I'm asking for the right to do my job while exercising my constitutional rights. I don't think that's too much to ask." This is basically positioning him so that he gets all the money when LSU inevitably fires him, is how I'm reading this.
Yeah.
So that's the latest in the Will Wade thing. And I'm going to talk to Neil McCready in the next segment. I'm going to actually ask him a little bit about how he feels LSU will do in the SEC tournament.
Story number three.
Latest in the college enrollment scandal. This is the scandal that Lori Loughlin and several celebrities and CEOs and executives and millionaires are caught up in, which is just strange because here on, and Bennett's laughing, but it's, you know, we spend so much time talking about extra benefits for players, like Will Wade's story. Mm-hmm. And then you get this story on like Monday, Tuesday that breaks. And by Thursday, now we find out that Lori Loughlin's daughter, who is a social influencer, this is the latest now. She's been dropped by Sephora, which is like, I guess it's a cosmetic company.
Yeah.
So they dropped her because they're done with her. Like, mm-hmm. We don't need you and your family. And obviously, I don't know if she knew about them cheating for her to get her into USC, but inevitably, they just decided we're going to drop you, okay? And then we find out that while Lori Loughlin was being... charged and figuring out her situation, the daughter was on a yacht with a board member from USC.
I saw this.
And it's like this, you can't make this stuff up at this point. Like the plot seriously keeps thickening. Mm-hmm. So I'm just waiting for the moment. And then today, Phil Mickelson, the third part of this that I read today, Phil Mickelson had to issue a statement, and it's on Twitter now. And I guess this is the right thing if you're Phil Mickelson. This broke during Eric Hasseltine's show, and Jeffrey Wright actually read this live on the air. But I guess Phil Mickelson, having been popped for gambling and wanting to keep his public reputation intact and not get drugged through the mud, was linked to this guy. So Phil actually issued a statement. Here it is. From Phil Mickelson on Twitter, our family, along with thousands of others, used Rick Singer's company to guide us through the college admission process. We are shocked by the revelations of these events. Obviously, we were not part of this fraud. Our kids would disown us if we ever tried to interfere.
This thing sounds like just a massive...
It's bananas.
It sounds like just a
bananas.
Massive rich people...
Yeah, rich people
scheme,
problems.
Like, yeah.
Well, and the thing that went through my mind, and I might ask, I'm actually going to ask Bo Hart about this later in the 5 o'clock hour, is... Phil Mickelson went to Arizona State on a golf scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the hell do you need, like, assistance figuring out the college admissions process for?
Right.
Like, you're a smart guy, Phil Mickelson.
You're a smart guy, Phil.
Like, you really are smart. Like, you're a public figure. You're a professional golfer. You have millions of dollars. Like, figure it out. Like,
yeah.
Do you need the Singer guy to help you get your... It's just bananas to me. So that is the latest from Phil Mickelson chiming in, the latest part of this college enrollment saga.
Story number four.
And then last night, we didn't even do a recap here for the station website because the game was so abysmal, but the Grizzlies got it handed to them by the Atlanta Hawks last night, 132-111. And Neil is obviously a big fan, so I'm going to talk to him a little bit about the NBA as well in this next segment. But just a brutal effort from the Grizzlies last night after there were high hopes coming out of, you had 4 of 5 games, you had won 3 in a row, and the game was rough to watch last night, Bennett.
Yeah, it was rough to watch. I argued with it about my host today. On the show,
yeah, you were good. You were repping
I'm
the Grizzlies.
Standing my
still.
Ground. Yeah. It's just one game. I'm okay. Let's see Valanciunas play 2 bad games in a row. He hasn't done that yet since he's been a Grizzly. So I want to see it happen. If they lose at Washington in the next game, then I'll start to be a little bit worried about the whole conveying the pick. But I'd chalk it up to they had a couple days off and they were in Atlanta for a game.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of NBA players struggle with having a day off before playing in Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, at this point...
There's a lot to do in that town.
Listen, I am trying to keep this one game at a time. I went to the game on Sunday with my son Jake, and we had a great time. It was obviously a win, which made it compelling, and it was a good win for them. But I will tell you, the pray and convey thing is starting to get old, and you can tell we're in the dog days of the NBA. So the next Grizzlies game, we'll see if they can come back after the loss to Atlanta. They play Saturday against the Wizards at 6 o'clock. You can hear that game here on 92.9. And up next, we'll have Neil McCready on in Jeff's spot. Jeff doing work for the Daily Memphian down at FedEx Forum. So we're going to have Neil pop on next. You're listening to The Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.